We'll just start off, and we'll start here with Brent. Would each of you just please introduce yourself? Tell us where you're from, what campus you're on. Tell us where you went overseas. We'll just let everyone share that, and then we'll throw some questions your way.
I'm Brent Jenkins. I am from Weatherford, Oklahoma, and I go to OSU. I'm a senior this year, and in 2008 and 2009, went to East Asia. With focus.
I'm Alexandra Castillo, or Alex. I am a fourth-year student at New Mexico State University. I have about three more semesters till I finish up my degree. Last year, I had the opportunity last summer to go with focus to East Asia, and so that's where I spent my summer there.
I am Jeremy Hughes. I am a sophomore at Fort Hays State University in Kansas. And last summer, I had the opportunity on a freshman team to go to East Asia with focus.
I'm Hillary Pruitt, and I'm from Boulder, Colorado, and I go to the University of Colorado there. And I'm a senior, and in 2008, I got the opportunity to go to South Asia with focus. It's good times.
Hi, I'm Susie Lambert, and I go to OU. I'm from Houston, and summer 2008, I went to Astana, Kazakhstan, and Christmas 2008, I went to Cambodia, Phnom Penh.
Good, Susie, let's start with you. Tell us your scripture. Why do you want to overseas?
Sure. I was at Project Impact the summer before my summer overseas, and that's really where God spoke to me about going overseas. I was in Isaiah for the summer, and that just happens to be a really good book to that shows God's heart to the nations. And the passage that I was reading was Isaiah 42. It's kind of a long one, 5 through 13, but it's a good one. And it's, "Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and to those who dwell in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praise from the end of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and those who dwell on them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voices, the settlements where Kedar inhabits, and let the inhabitants of Selah sing aloud. Let them shout for joy from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. The Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will arouse his zeal like a man of war. He will utter a shout. Yes, he will raise a war cry. He will prevail against his enemies." And I think that's just like a really great picture of God's heart for the nations. And he's actually talking about Jesus here, but we're called to be like Jesus. And so it really kind of gave me an idea that I wanted to go overseas to the nations.
And then, same question for Brent. And new rule here, before you guys just kind of repeat the question and your answer, like the reason I want to go overseas is that way we can, it'll all be recorded.
Okay. Well, from scripture, the reason I wanted to go overseas, there's a verse in Revelation 5, in like verse 9, it says, it's just a picture of of heaven. It says, "And they sang a new song, saying, worthy," and they're saying to Jesus, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." And when I just first read that and was thinking about it, I thought, that is a picture of something that's gonna happen. Like, that's gonna happen. There will be people from every tribe and language and people and nation that Jesus had ransomed by his blood. And as I just read that and thought about it, I thought, if I, like, I must do something to be a part of this. Yeah, just the, the first thing was, well, let's go do it. And so just the first time I went with Focus, it wasn't like a big kind of spiritual, like, I didn't have to like spend a lot of time praying about it. It was pretty simple. Like, this is what's on God's heart. He's going to do this. Like, this is what he's after, and he's calling us to join him in it. And so it's like, okay, I need to go and be a part of this.
Okay, so Brent, keep the mic there. Were there any competing, what were the competing factors or competing motivations in your own heart that made you maybe want to stay instead of go?
The competing factors, my own heart. In my, like, personally, there wasn't, like, I wanted to go, but my father does not believe in Jesus, and so that created a lot of kind of internal struggles, because I wanted to honor him. I mean, he didn't want me to go. He thought it was dumb. He was really worried about, like, danger, and I didn't know what kind of dangers we'd get into, so I was like, well, you know, maybe there are dangers, but I still need to go. And so that was just kind of a hard struggle, like wanting to honor him and not just be like, oh, I don't care what you say, I'm going to go, but also wanting to be obedient to Jesus and knowing that this is an important thing, because there are so many places in the world that they don't know the gospel. So that was definitely a competing thing. And I just had to just be patient and gentle and communicate with my dad, like, this is really important. It's going to be okay. Like, you know, even if it wasn't going to be okay, I don't know. I still just had to try and be gentle and patient. So that was a very real struggle. And eventually, man, my dad was just okay with it.
But, Alex, how about you? Any barriers or hurdles you had to overcome before going overseas?
Yeah, there definitely are barriers and hurdles. And mine are kind of along the same lines. My parents, they're not following God right now. And so my mom is a lot more understanding about the decision that, you know, I had made. And it's not the first time that I was overseas, so she was a little bit more like, okay, you went before and you came back alive, so that's good. And my dad, he was just a little bit more against it. And it's kind of like, you know, well, you know, why are you going to waste your summer, you know, overseas? Or, you know, you have to raise all this money for it. We don't have a lot of money to contribute to going, you know. And so just really early on in that, when the beginning of the spring semester, I was like, okay, this is where, or the fall semester actually of that year, God just really made it clear, like, Alex, I want you to go. So pick up an application. And so I did, and I started filling it out. And just early on, I just gave those things to God. I was like, okay, God, like, you're a big God, and you can totally take care of the finances, so I'm just not really going to worry about that part. And, you know, God, you're the heart changer, so just, you know, place it in my parents' heart to be understanding of this decision and to know that, you know, I'm in your hands, and, you know, I'll be safe with you, and to just kind of really change their outlooks on that. And so, God just really did, like, early on, like, even weeks before I knew that exactly where I was going and that I was accepted to go to Focus, people had already been, like, sending in money. And I was like, whoa. And so I was just like, okay, God, you've got this under control. And my parents, they were just a little bit more easy-minded about it and more understanding. It wasn't like they weren't jumping for joy that I was going, but they were like, you know, okay, we're, you know, we understand, you know, why you've, you know, committed your life to this, and, you know, we're just gonna be there for you. So, yeah, God was just really faithful in that.
Good. Same question for you, Jeremy. Do you have hurdles or barriers?
Yes, I had many hurdles and barriers, I think. Before I went, even filling out the Focus application, which is very long and hard, was such a trying thing for me. And such, it was a rough week, like the entire time I filled it out. And so, of course, the feeling of inadequacy and the excuse, I'm not ready, like I'm not capable of this. Especially being like young, I thought, oh, shoot, I need some more time. I just need more time. And even like focus application was like due in a week. And so that was a huge hurdle for me. And so I had to find someone. I had to confide in someone. I was like, I just don't feel like I'm ready. Like, I just don't want to go. And I want you to hear me say that you can always say that. You will always say that. You can always say, I'm not ready. And what really happened was I talked to, like, my mentor at the time, and he showed me a verse. Oh, I got it memorized. It's okay. It's 2 Timothy 1:7, and it says that, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And that was so huge for me, because I'm not supposed to be afraid. I'm not supposed to be afraid. And then also, just something that I recently heard that I would share with you is that you don't take a bath before you get into the shower. Like, this trip, stepping out in faith is what gets you ready. Like, God is going to get you ready to go on a trip, and you have to do that. You don't get ready before you get ready. Does that make sense? Like, God is the one that makes it possible. And so you just stepping out in faith and filling out that application and saying, okay, I'm going to be obedient in that. I'm not going to live in fear and live in timidity anymore. I'm going to live in your power and your love and your self-discipline. And so that was a huge barrier for me just because I felt like I was not ready. But I just had to face the fact that, you know what, God, I trust you. I trust that you are going to make me ready and you're going to make me capable of things that I don't think I'm capable of. And also Romans 8:1 says that there is no condemnation for those that are in Jesus Christ. And so even some sin that was in my life, I thought, well, I'm supposed to be perfect before I go, obviously. Like, that's going to happen. And so saying there's no condemnation, like, Jesus Christ frees us from that. And so we are confident, we can be confident, and we can be capable in that.
Good. Keep the microphone, Jeremy, and be sure to repeat the question. But what did you see God do through your team while you were overseas?
What did I see God do through our team and me overseas? Well, first thing I saw was that he really united us, like, immediately. We just melded together. Is that a word? Melded together really easily and had a lot of fun. And I was amazed at that, like, how well we had fun together and how well we just worked together immediately. And so that's God, because I was kind of worried about that or whatever. And we just saw him relax us. And even through training, we just work together really well, and we fit together really well. And so I just praise him for that, because I was like nervous about being a young team. I thought, oh no, we're going to just mess up a lot. But I think that God was really able to just unite us and give us the same vision for the summer. And then also, oh man, I think I saw through that same unification of our team, I think I saw that the power of prayer, and I literally saw guys' lives like change right before our eyes, like as a team. And so just supporting, like, another guy on my team, like, really supported me in prayer, like, whenever I was out there. And so I just saw God change us right before our eyes. And I know that's so cliche, but just to literally say that I had the support of my friend and my teammate in prayer. And so that's something that I'd never experienced before, and I never saw the power of that before, but I was really able to see that God was working in our team.
Hillary, same question.
What did God see, and what did I see God do through our team this summer, or last summer? Early on, actually, God really, the same as Jeremy, he showed our team that prayer is effective and it works. And we actually had the opportunity to see, like, we got to see kind of, you know, the story of the sower, of planting the seeds and harvesting and all that. We got to see that kind of sped up, which was really cool. We met this guy named Abu at a park we like to go to, and he was a security guard. And we were just walking by, and he had to hurry out, but we just asked if we could pray for him, just a small group of our team. And so we did that, and we prayed for him, and he was running off. And then another day, another guy on our team who wasn't with us the day before, ran into him, and he asked if he could just share a little bit about Christ with them. So he shared his testimony with them. And that was it, and he had to move on and go somewhere else. And then another day, a different guy on our team who still hadn't met him yet came home, and he's like, guys, someone prayed to receive Christ today, and it was awesome. And we're like, oh, really? Yeah, that's cool. What's his name? And he's like, oh, Abu, blah, 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 blah. And we're like, oh, that's great. And later we are flipping through pictures, and we're like, whoa, wait a second. Was it this guy? And they're like, yeah, it's that guy. And then we're like, we met that guy at the park on the bridge. And then he's like, oh, we met that guy the first day when we prayed for him. And like each time that someone had been sharing with them too, we realized that we were like across the park praying for them at the same time. And so we got to like see the whole process of God working this guy's life. And I'm not naive enough to say that there wasn't seeds planted before we got there. But it was really cool, and it really encouraged our team and showed us that like prayer is huge, and it works, and it's effective. And I think that really just bonded our team for the rest of the summer, and like it kind of set the pace early in just expecting big things from God. How did I grow spiritually while I was overseas? I think God taught me a lot about the cost that it takes to follow Christ. And I think it's easy living in America to kind of just be a Sunday Christian, or, you know, maybe more than just a Sunday Christian, but you don't really see a lot of the hardships that are faced. And this really came out one week when we had prayed, or we had talked with one guy, and he said he was ready to receive Christ, but he wanted to do it that night alone at his house. And then we had met with another girl later that week, and she also said she wanted to pray to receive Christ. And so we prayed with these two people, and then we were ready to follow up with them. And I was in a Muslim country, and for Muslims, like, baptism is a huge deal because it's publicly proclaiming your faith. So it's almost more a picture of really committing your life to Christ. And so we were ready to see if they wanted to be baptized. And the guy who wanted to pray alone that night at his house, he said, yeah, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And we're like, well, you know, do you still believe? He's like, I believe all this stuff. But for me to decide to follow Christ, I risk losing my family and my job and my friends and possibly my life. And I think that was just like a reality sinking in that, you know, it's so easy to just kind of live your life here and just go and do the mundane things. But like, there is a cost to following Christ. And so while I was there, like, it started to sink in, and I started to almost doubt, like, gosh, wow, he could lose all these people? He could lose his family and stuff? Like, why do I have the right to ask him to do that? Like, God, are you sure? Is it really worth it? Like, is it worth it to follow you? Because I've never experienced anything like that, and I've never had that type of suffering in my life. And then he brought a verse in Romans 8:17-18, where it talks about how we are heirs of God, and with that we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. And I realized that Christ suffered first, and I may not have suffered yet, but Christ suffered, so it's okay for him to suffer, and he's going to get to share in the glory. And so I think it's grown me also in just being able to pray for these people across the world who really are facing hardships and suffering for Christ.
So how I grew spiritually this summer, there's a lot of different points that God was just really, like, touching base with me and making me, like, just really, like, Alex, work on this area. And but a couple of them, one was just the effectiveness of the gospel and knowing the gospel and knowing scripture and what the word says. And like, I felt like I had a handle on that. And I don't, whether it was Satan or whatever, just doubting in myself. So I just dove into scripture and just like diligently was reading, you know, the gospel and just reading whatever, just, you know, just wanting to just get this better handle on God. And so that was just really empowering, and it was good because there's so many pieces of scripture that, like, I'd read before but kind of read over, or, oh, I heard that before, but it just really hit me harder that time, and God really used those scriptures as I was sharing with my friends, maybe things that I wouldn't have, like, wouldn't have come to mind before. You know, just needed that refreshing of His word, and so that was the one way that God really just was working on me. And also, God was really tugging on my heart for my family back home, which doesn't help all the way overseas, and you can't talk to them. And so He was just really like, you know, just really tugging my heart to like be in prayer for them. And you know, He was like, yeah, you know, I've called you over here, and you're being obedient and you're an effective tool. And, but you've really forgotten about the people at home. You've grown, really, I was just grown numb to them and kind of like, they're not interested in you, God, so I'm just going to do my own thing. And He really just was like, you know, showing me that. And so I was like, wow. And just kind of like couldn't believe how numb my heart had gotten towards my family back home. And so just really began to like pray for them individually and just specifically and lifting them up and continue, you know, knowing like when I was going to go home and to just not let that just be, oh, this was a summer thing, you know, God told me to, you know, do this then, but I need to continue to do it when I go back home and to be that love. And to, there's a book that we are all going through, and the biggest theme was love is meeting needs. And so I was continuing to think, okay, like what kind of needs can I meet in my parents' lives or my siblings' lives that, you know, I can just share your love and be your light to them. And so I come back home and it wasn't like, and I was expecting like, oh, this wonderful, you know, thing, or like, I've done all this praying and God's just going to be amazing. And not that God isn't amazing, but He does things on His own and on His own terms and in His own timing. So I just, it wasn't what I was expecting, but man, it's been good. Like this past semester, just like, continuing to see those prayers being answered and the different ways that just my relationships have been building with my family. And it's just been good. It's been a struggle. It's been frustrating. There's times I'm just like, God, I want to give up. And He's just like, no, just, you know, hold to my truth, love on them, show them grace. It's been a good struggle back.
Good. This next question is for Susie. What's different about the way you live your life now because you spent time overseas?
Right. What's different about my life now since I spent time overseas? God will definitely, depending on your campus, but He'll bring more international students into your life. I think, especially, it's just cool. I'm in petroleum engineering, so there's a ton of internationals at OU, and when I was in Kazakhstan, it was Muslims, and God really gave me a heart for just, Muslim women. And, there's like some Saudi girls in my petroleum engineering classes who, it's a lot like in Kazakhstan, just the relationships there are just slower, and it really is like building trust and getting into their lives. And, I learned that very much so back there, and that was really, sometimes I really think that was my training grounds for like over here back in America with just students here. And He's just really through there. He taught me like, Suze, you need to pray more because, you know, you can really see more happen and pray with more authority that God's going to do something and like believe what you're praying and believe His word. Like what Brent was saying, just believe that that is what's going to happen and that Jesus really does like come alongside us and hold our hand to do all these things. And I think just since I've come back, he's really just, is that the question? Am I answering the question? Yeah, just since I've come back, he's really continued to open my eyes to just things in His word and just the theme of the nations throughout scripture. And a lot of it whenever I was going was just obedience to love people as God has commanded us to love people. And, that'll change your relationships a lot just with, you know, your own peers, and to realize how lucky you are that, like, your friends can speak great English and understand you, and, like, how, like, why was, you know, I wanted to share with this girl so bad overseas, but she couldn't understand me in English, but, like, my friends back home, like, I love them so much that I want to share with them, and I can because they speak English, and, you know, I have so much more in common with some of these people, and you'll find a lot of things in common with people overseas, but, I mean, just, it really gives you a heart for your friends back home, too. So I think it really was kind of a stimulus for my prayer life, my just evangelism, disciple making, just everything. It'll really be a blessing to go overseas, and especially when you come back. So.
Next question is for Hillary. You know, not all teams turn out to work great together. There's relational challenges. Did your team have any relational challenges getting along with each other?
We had a few. When you go overseas, often you go, especially with Focus, they send you with people you know already. So you're kind of used to relating to these people here in the States in one way, and then you're thrown overseas and you're living in kind of tight, cramped quarters, and you have different relationships with people there than you did here. And so we had a couple random tips and stuff like that. But I think for me, I went with a group, and me and my best friend went on the same team. And she was the leader of our group. And I kind of was actually a part of helping her come to know Christ. So it was kind of a flip in our relationship. So it didn't create too much conflict there, but it was one of those things where I had to go to God every day and just be like, all right, God, I know she is the leader of this team, and I need to respect her and follow her and trust her judgment. And, you know, like, there's days where I was like, what are you doing? But, like, I had to go back and be like, no, God, you have made her leader of this team, and I need to follow her. And I think orientation really helped us with that. They really prepare you for a lot, and teach you how to follow leadership really well. And so I think that was really helpful for our trip, and it strengthened our relationship, and we are a lot closer now because of our trip overseas.
This one. Alex, you
want to
answer the same question?
Can you repeat the question?
Did your team have any relational challenges?
Okay. So some of the relational challenges with our team, I'd say that definitely at orientation, it really unified our team. I thought our team was pretty unified, you know, when we got there, but just even more, and it was just really beautiful to see that, you know, picture come together and, like, yeah, man, we're in this together. And so, but yeah, like, your relationships are different overseas, and just with cultural stresses and everything, and so even the littlest things that normally wouldn't make a difference in the States is just, like, such a bigger deal. It's like someone put a spotlight on it overseas. And so there's a couple of times where me and one of the guys on my team, like, for whatever reason, I would say something and it would have, like, bugged him, or he said something and it would have bugged me. And so we'd end up having, like, these chats. And I didn't really like that it's good. Like, we need to get over conflict and everything. And so, whereas in the States, I would have been like, I don't want you to talk nice to me about this. Like, just tell me what I did wrong and I'm sorry, you know, he was just really like, you know, you said this and do you think you could have said it better? And he was like really great about it, but you know, I was just like, let's just duke this out, man, you know? and just kind of like in that, you know, and going back to my, you know, room or whatever and just having quiet time with God and just realizing, like, okay, God, like, thank you for that. Like, thank you for that, that sweetness, you know, and for that, just being able to talk about that, you know, and okay, I didn't mean it in this way, but this is how it was perceived. A lot of times you don't know, you don't mean to hurt someone's feelings with what you say or what you do, but, you know, it's just perceived differently. So that just really made me more aware of, okay, what are my words or what are my actions and overseas, and or just in it helped me too just coming back, you know, just knowing how maybe certain things are perceived in others' eyes, that that's not my intention, and so I don't want to be reflecting that, you know. So those are some just relational strengths.
Good. Next question for Jeremy. I'm assuming your team might have probably had fun, laughed a little bit. Can you give us an example of anything like that? How
did
the team have fun? How did they laugh? Funny stories, anything exciting like that?
So, did our team have fun overseas? yes, and that's actually a misperception that I had, is that it was not going to be fun. Like, we would not have any fun. I don't know why, but I just thought that we'd like to have to wake up every morning and do push-ups, and then especially after a week or whatever, I thought we were just going to run everywhere and. I don't know, I thought it was all serious, but then I got there and it was just like God really was able to make it just fun and relaxed and free. And so I have a funny story that I wanted to tell because it's really ridiculous. But so it was 4th of July and we wanted to celebrate, in my country that I went to, they have all kinds of fireworks all the time. But we were like, well, we want to join in too. So we went and bought serious fireworks. I was ready to do this. And in the States, I'd never buy fireworks. It's not something that I get into, but I was like, okay, I'm ready. I'm going to buy the hugest box ever. And so we went there and I got my money out and I was looking for the tallest and most ridiculous firework that you could buy. And so I got this one. It was this tall. That's pretty tall for those that can't see. And it was ridiculous. And so I was really excited to unveil this for the missionaries that we were with. And we were going to make a huge night of it. And so I got this thing and I was all proud of it. And I took it over there. And so we're shooting off these little fireworks. I'm like, yeah, those aren't anything. Wait for mine. And then so I pull mine out. I'm like, you ready for this one? And then so we opened the box and it was like this. No joke. It was this funeral umbrella, you take it to a funeral and you set it up and it means very sad things for the nationals there. And I was so sad. I was like, let's light it on fire. They're like, no, you can't. Don't do that. And so it meant really taboo things for for the nationals there. And so I was like, oh no. I was all excited for this firework. So we laughed a long time. And then we didn't know what to do with it. And so, we just set it up in this park on this walkway. And later we're like, we probably shouldn't have done that because no one's going to go down that walkway because this thing is there. And it means bad things or whatever for funerals. And so it was hilarious. And they still make fun of me because I bought, not a firework that I thought it was going to be. So.
Funny. Wait, what was the question? Did your team laugh much or have fun overseas? Yes, we did. We actually were invited to a wedding one time. And so our team went, and we met this little 8-year-old right before we got there. And I walk up to him, and I had been to an Indian wedding in the States. And it was a party, dancing crazy, everyone is going crazy. And so I was like, oh, this is pretty close to India. It's going to be the same way. It's just going to be a big party. And so this little 8-year-old, he was a pretty wild little guy. And I was like, hey, he didn't speak any English, but I was like, hey, when we get to the place, we're going to dance. And he's like, dance? Okay, yeah, we'll dance. All right, we'll dance. And so when we walk in, we're the only white people there, and there's probably about 300 to 400 guests. And he sees me walk in, and there's a live band, and nobody's dancing. Everybody's just sitting at their tables. But he runs over to me, grabs me, and rips me from the door, runs with me all the way up to the stage, pulls me up on stage, and just starts going at it. And I was like, oh, shoot, I told this kid that I would dance with him. I guess I have to dance. So I just do a little bit. A little something, something. And then he's like, I still start to back away. And he's getting mad because I'm not dancing with him. So he pulls me out again. And I'm like, no. I think that's enough. And he's like, ah. And so we pull a few people and a few of our national friends in. And we all start to dance just a little bit. It's mostly just them watching all the white people. And then toward the end of the wedding, they're like, all right, you must sing. And we're like, wait, you want us to do what? And they're like, sing, honor us, sing. And we're like, wait, no, you didn't tell us we'd have to sing. It's not like too formal, so it was okay to sing a fun song. So we're like, no, we don't want to sing. It's okay. And they're like, oh, sing. And so my national friend pulled me up on stage and handed me a mic. And so I grabbed one of my guys from my team, Adam Milner. I don't know if any of you know him. And I made him get up there and sing with me. And we had been driving our team crazy with a Postal Service song, like, the whole summer. So we're like, all right, I guess we'll just sing the whole Postal Service. And so he's, like, doing all the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, like, going at it. And then we're singing, and we get, like, probably 30 seconds in the song, and our national friend comes up and goes, okay, I think finished. Because we didn't realize that song just is not very, like, singable without the music. And so we're like, no, we want to finish. You got us up here. We're going to finish this song. And so we kind of sing, and then eventually they just take it and start singing their, like, their Bollywood-sounding music. So it was great. And we stuck to It Is Well With My Soul every time they asked us to sing after that. So no more Postal Service.
Yes. Okay. So situations where I thought, wow, that turned out way better than I thought. God must have used me. Okay. I'm just trying to, like, decide which one. Okay. This was on our first trip. Me and another one of my teammates, Jonathan, we were going to, like, just look through the cell phone and try and find some numbers and meet some guys to go eat lunch. Because, like, meal times are really good just to sit down and have conversation and share the gospel. And so he's like, oh, I haven't talked to this guy in a while. So he calls him, and he's like, yeah, let's go to lunch. So we go and we meet. Well, we go to the gate of the school, and we're looking for this guy. But apparently through some weird, like, confusing thing, the number that was in it was actually a different guy that another team member had entered into the phone. And so this guy that we were meeting thought we were someone different, and we thought he was someone different. So what ended up was we're at the gate, and there's another national standing at the gate, with lots of people just traveling through the gate. But he was standing there kind of looking around, and we're kind of standing there looking around. I was like, dude, is that him? He's like, no, that's not him. Like, are you sure? Because he's the only one who's, like, not going anywhere. And he kept looking at us. And so finally we kind of made our way over to him. And we just decided, like, maybe this is him. And we're like, hey, you want to go eat? He's like, yeah. Like, oh, it must be him because he wants to go eat. And so as we're walking to, like, just go to a local restaurant, I was like, Jonathan, is this him? He's like, no. He's like, who is he? Like, I don't know. He's like, So it was awkward. He was like, I don't know if he knows who we are, but we just went with it. We sat down to eat. We started just, like, asking him questions like, hey, what are you studying? And then finally we're like, we don't know who you are. And then he was like, I don't know who you are either. And we're like, oh man, we totally blew this. And he was like, a lot of the nationals there are sort of, like, they're either super excited to be around Americans or really shy. And he was one of the shy ones, so it was kind of hard to get the conversation going. And he just say really short answers. I mean, his English was okay, so it was just like, you know, it was like, man, we're just, like, wasting a lunch here, or what are we doing? So finally the conversation starts to pick up a little bit. And Jonathan was asking him questions about, like, if he believed anything. Jonathan had a little tract in their language. And so he's just kind of going through it with him, like, hey, this is what I believe. Can I show you this? And he's like, yeah. So they're sitting there going through it. And I was just kind of sitting there, like, just eating and praying for him, because Jonathan had the conversation. And I had a tract also. And so I was just kind of flipping through it, like, as they were reading it. But for some reason, we had two versions of the English tract, and, like, Jonathan had the wrong one, so he was having a rough time sharing the gospel with this guy because he was trying to match up his English version with the national one. And he was like, this you know, he couldn't figure out where it was, and he's showing him verses that Jonathan didn't even know what they were. It was just a mess. And finally we figured out that I had the right version that Jonathan was supposed to have, and so we flipped them. It was kind of a mess the whole time. And after like an hour and a half of trying to figure out what, you know, trying to get the right gospel message to this guy and not even knowing who he was, we just, at the end, like, we're like, okay, I think we've said everything we need to say. Like, do you think you want to believe this? Like, do you understand this? And the guy goes, yeah. And, we're like, do you want to believe in Jesus? He goes, yeah. And Jonathan, I just kind of sat there like, are you really? Like, are you sure? He was like, yes. It's so like, oh, so we like told him, like, you can just pray to him now. You can talk to him now. And he did. And then that night he got baptized, which I think it was Hillary that said, like, in a lot of other cultures, like, baptism is huge because it's like, you are in this. And a lot of people would be like, I'll believe, but I don't want to get baptized. And so they'd never really grow if they wouldn't be obedient that first step. But he did it that night. And it was just crazy. I was like, man, we didn't know what we were doing, but God did. And so that was just a big lesson in, like, just be obedient. And even if you don't know what's going on, like, be obedient and trust God. But it was awesome.
Yeah.
Anyone else want to share a story of what you saw God, where you got to share the gospel with someone, got to see God do something?
I got one for that. While I was in Kazakhstan, I got to go to a village with one of my friends. We called it like a homestay. And I was pumped because I was like, God, give me something extreme, you know. I want to do this missions thing, you know. Let's take me out in the middle of nowhere, you know. Let's really do O Week, you know, over here. And so, but I got it. I was like, and this was with a friend, and she wanted to be a translator. So I was like, oh, her English was good. So I was like, you know, me and her family, this will be fine, you know. And like, I was praying a lot that I'd get to share the gospel with her, and like my whole team was praying that that would just be a great time to share the gospel. And I was like, well, I'm not going to leave without sharing the gospel with her. You know, I'm going to do it. You know, something, if you don't plan on doing it, you're not going to do it. If you plan on doing it, you'll do it. And so I was like, well, I plan on doing it, so I'm going to do it. And I was scared. I was going by myself, just with her and her family. And so, and I was like, well, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but we'll see. And it was crazy because on the bus ride, her village was kind of like a far ways away, like a few hours by bus and then a few hours by train. I don't know. And, so we had, just some time, like on the bus, like whenever I first sat down to like go with her there, that I got to share the gospel with her because we were passing this, Russian Orthodox church. And, I was just like, well, I'll ask her about that, you know, see if we can get this going. And she just was ready. She was ready to listen and talk about it. And like, that was the first time I got to share the gospel with her. And that was on the bus ride. And it was kind of more just like our first spiritual, like gospel conversation. And so, and then during the rest of the week, that I was there with her, like, we kept talking about it and kept talking about it. And, she never came to a decision, but, cause she wasn't ready. And some of the things she didn't fully understand. And she was, out of all of our friends, she was probably the most Muslim cause they're very nominal. But I was nervous to share because we hadn't gotten to share a lot with anybody. But God just gave me the opportunity, like in the first hour that we were there, like God answered our prayers and everything like that. And also, like, while I was there, like, you know, I had to bring my own water. Like, it was just, you know, no electricity, no nothing, didn't take a bath for 4 or 5 days, and eating things that, like, I really should have gotten sick. Like, I know I should have gotten sick over there because I drank their water and out of, you know, not unknowingly. And, but right whenever I got back, I was like, for some reason, my team wasn't in the apartment because they'd spent the night with somebody else and I didn't have a way to get back in there. And I was like, I need to see my team. Like after these like 5 days of like being by myself and going through just a lot of things, God was teaching me, like, I was like, oh, I just need to see my team. And, but they weren't there. And like, but I ran on my way, like finding their apartment because they're, the other apartment they were at was close by. Like I ran into a lady on our team and she was like, man, me and my husband prayed every night for your health that you wouldn't get sick. And I was like, well, I definitely needed it because I ate some things that I should have gotten sick and that would have just kind of really made it worse. And so to answer the question, like God really, you know, I guess what was it? Whoa, that came out much better than I expected. God must have been guiding me and he really did. And I still talk to that friend and she's still around believers. And so we're still praying for her. And I really hope that, that God has a place for her. So we'll see, but. Yeah, we saw a boy and a girl and it was funny because they liked each other, I guess, and were kind of thinking about dating and they actually came to Christ separately. And so we were just thinking how cool it would be if they continue to grow and they continue to like each other, that could really, you know, just to find another believer in Kazakhstan, just to find another believer, and to marry them, that could really be a godly family that could just spread the gospel. So it's cool.
Can I actually just take a couple questions? Anybody, any of you guys have questions you want to ask the panel? Yes, ma'am. Can you talk a little bit about anything you want to know? Jane?
So biggest difference. Well, one big difference was the first time I went over, it wasn't with Focus. It was just me and my pastor and his wife and two other ladies, and we did a trip to India for 2 weeks. And it was we were working with a man in his ministry called Evangelistic Companions for India, and he just has a couple of different branches within his ministry, and we're mainly going over for medical purposes. Our pastor's wife, Julie, is a nurse, and the other lady that went with us was a nurse too, and we brought over lots of medical supplies, and we did 8 different medical camps in these little villages all over this little, the southern part of India that we're at. And it was very much like what, I don't know, my image of like, oh, I'm going overseas and I'm going to be in a village and, you know, just kind of thing. And so, that was my view of missions, thinking, okay, this is what I want to do. This is where I want to go. And so then a couple years later and, learn more about Focus and decided to, I wanted to apply with them. And it's just a very different structure. There's a team, you have in there your peers, you're over there much longer. So, I was thinking, okay, God, like I can do 2 weeks. Can I do 2 months? It's a very different atmosphere. You're building relationships with other students that are your age. And so, there's also that factor in kind of thinking, okay, well, like, I do similar to this, you know, on my own college campus, and is it going to be that same way? And it was really a lot more, just relational building. This last summer, it was, you know, I met a friend and just got to know them on their level and built, like, building those bridges and loving on them and sharing Christ with them, whereas my other one, we're meeting a physical need, as long as a spiritual need too, but there wasn't as much, individualness and there wasn't as much relational building. It was like we would just go from camp to camp. Hmm. So, yeah.
What do I miss the most? Oh, yeah. Oh, the food. Well, that's probably not the most, but the food's really good. And I thought that maybe it would be a little crazy, but I miss it a lot. Like, I just wish I could taste it again. And I miss my friends. And I was amazed at how much, oh God, deep in my heart just in a small amount of time, like for my friends, and how hard that was. Like, it's crazy. I was just talking to Alex like last night that I was worried that I would be afraid to like enter in and get involved, and that would, you know, that to really live lives with those people or whatever. And then God did that. And then I was kind of like, well, God, this really hurts, because now I have to leave and I have to trust you that you're going to like still be with them, still protect them, still grow them. And so I miss them a lot. And the email is still a possibility. There's only, you know, there's limitations on that. And so I just miss being able to like meet with them and know like how it's going, and to have those people across the world. That is so amazing to pray for them and to love them. And, you know, I just miss them. And I just think of Paul in the Bible. Like, I just understand more of how he says, I miss you so much, and I long to be with you, and I long to know, like, where you're at in your walk. You know what I mean?
It's quick, but, like, one thing that I really miss the most and, like, completely surprised me when I was over there is just that, like, the part of East Asia that I was at, like, these people are hungry. Like, there is a major harvest going on right now, and the fruit is ripe for picking. Like, if you know, if not like we, but if there's no one there to pick the fruit, it's just going to rot and fall to the ground. And that is just, like, sad to think. Because when I was over there, like, my friends and the people that I meet, like, I was real timid and sharing and didn't know, like, is this going to work? You know, like, they trained me, but how do they know? But they know. and like, it just amazed me, like, every friend that I made and everyone that I would talk to, and just how God would come up in conversation and how they were just eager to hear the gospel and hear the word, and the friends that I would meet, and to the point where, there's one girl that I was meeting with, and she didn't meet with me the next time we were supposed to meet. So I was kind of like, oh, great. And then there's this whole big long period because there's finals going on and they're just completely engulfed in that. And so the next time we met, I was like, okay, how am I going to sneak God into this conversation and, you know, continue to, you know, talk about Bible? And she was like right up front, she was like, Alex, are we going to continue to study the Bible together? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, when do you want to do it? She's like, tomorrow. And I was like, sweet. So just that, you know, that's something I miss. And in our culture here, you know, you kind of get, I don't know, for me, I've gotten frustrated with it because I'm sharing with these, my students, or, you know, and they don't want to hear it a lot of times. I mean, there's people that do want to hear it, but there's just those ones that, you know, and I just feel like I get so many doors slammed. I'm like, God, what's the point? I mean, and there is a point, but He's working all over, and there's parts of the world that continue to need to be toiled, and you know, the rocks need to be moved out of the way, and there's parts of the world that are just ready, and that's the part right now that is just ready. And so I miss that, and I pray, you know, that God continues to send people and people continue to obey and go. And yeah.
There's one last question from the audience, and then I have one last question for the panel.
I guess I felt really what fears did I have before going overseas? I felt really inadequate to just go and share the gospel. I mean, I had done it here and stuff, but it's just scary. Anytime you're going to get in a conversation, you feel like you don't know what to say. There's a language barrier. And actually, like, the reverse happened. We'd get in these conversations, and we always had our national brothers with us. And so we'd, like, all we did was, like, share the Evangie Cube or share our testimony. And then all of a sudden it just go, bah! And they would just, like, completely go at it. And so we were kind of just, like, the doors for our national brothers to get to talk to them. And, like, God really just calmed our fears instantly. It was, like, he gave us a confidence to share, and he provided, and it was so cool just to watch him do it. And he's faithful. He was so faithful. So that was kind of scary, but he worked it out.
Anybody else fear you had before going?
I had a fear. I think, to answer the question about what fears I had before going, I think one of the fears I had, which is a dumb fear to have, is just like, why, like, well, what am I going to really tell people when they ask me, what are you doing this summer? Like, my, as in, like, my lost friends or people who don't really understand like missions and stuff. I was like, they're just going to be like, what? She's crazy. She's going overseas and she's, you know, like what are they going to think whenever I tell them? But, and it came up because, you know, people kind of start asking around like February, March, April, all that. What are you doing this summer? And so I told them, but man, there was like multiple times where it led to whenever I was like honest exactly about what I was doing with people, that it led to like sharing the gospel with like girls on my floor that like I had had such a hard time finding a way to share the gospel with them. Like, and even like friends back home, like it was one of those things, is pride or kind of fear of people rather than fear of God. Like that, what would they think of me if, you know, do they think I'm just some like, you know, kind of like not kind of just a goody two shoes, Jesus freak kind of thing, which, but I wanted them to know, like, no, this is real. Like, I really, like, this is like, God is so real to me that I want to obey him to do this. And it was, I just kind of let that fear go, and God really, like, he just turned it around to like an opportunity to just really share and just stand for him. So I don't know, if maybe I'm the only one who has that fear. I don't know. But yeah.
One last question and we'll let Alex and Brent close us with this last one. I want to just hear from you guys. What would you say to someone who might be considering going overseas? What would you like to tell them?
Well, I hope all of you guys decide to go overseas. No. But what, like, it's awesome when you just, like, just, you make yourself available to God. And, like, it's not even an issue of, like, should I do this? Is God calling me to do this? Like, I mean, God's already called us to do this. Go and make disciples of all nations. And, like, and not necessarily through focus or whatever, but just going, you know, and it's just, it's amazing when you're just obedient to that and you're in his ways. And like a piece of scripture that really helped me out with going overseas and, just continuing that. Just knowing, you know, like, okay, am I really doing this? You know, why am I doing this? And it's in 2 Corinthians, and it says, the gods of this world have blinded the minds of the unbelievers so as that they cannot see the light of the gospel, which is in the face of Christ Jesus. And just seeing that picture, and whatever it is, the gods of this world that have blinded the unbelievers, you know, whether that's actual gods like Buddha or Allah or whatever, or idol gods, you know, or just things that we put in front of God, and knowing that, you know, that they're blind, you know, the unbelievers are blind to this, and that God, he lives in us and he is the light, and we are called to shine bright, you know, among the nations and among, you know, where he's put us even here. So just that, I would just encourage you, if you feel like God is, you know, like that maybe this is the time or whatnot, I would just encourage you to go to God with that, you know, and just lay it before him and just say, you know, okay, God, like, I just want to make myself available to you. If you want me to go over here this summer, or you want me to go over here for 2 years, just let yourself be available to that, and don't, so many things we want to quickly say, like, well, finances, or well, my parents, or well, this, and we can just cloud up our minds with so many what ifs, or well, this can't happen, or this needs to happen first, and just give that to God and let that availability be, and let him do with it.
You know, what I would say to someone just our age, or anyone who's considering going overseas and doing a mission trip. I think one really huge reason is that if you were to go spend a summer overseas, it is going to make you a more effective follower of Jesus no matter what you do when you come back. And so what I mean by that is I think every single believer needs to be involved in missions in some way, either by going or giving or sending missionaries, or just like advocating for missions. Just in some way we need to be involved, because missions is on the heart of God. And so I think if missions isn't on our heart, then we are missing the heart of God big time. So in light of that, I think if you spend time overseas, it's going to help you be passionate and begin to understand missions. Like, I think as people for our age, it's hard to understand something or be passionate about something that we haven't experienced. So I'd say go, and then you're going to experience it, and you're going to see God do things in you when you're over there, and you're going to see God things do great works just where you are. And you're going to come back, and you're going to be changed. And then you're going to know what it's like. I think God will use it to help you be passionate about it. And so if you never go overseas again, it's going to help you, because now you're going to know, okay, when I have friends that are missionaries, I know how to be a blessing to them and help them. Or when there's internationals that come over here, I'm going to know what it's like to be someone in another culture. And I'm going to know what it's like to minister to internationals. Like, it's going to change the way you follow Jesus, and you're going to see like more clearly what's on the heart of God. So that's why I would say go overseas.